New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatial right across the river and through the woods from where Granite loves to roll up a Vienna Skunk Hybrid and have a couple shots of JMO in New York City. The Big Apple, people dressed in plastic bags, to rented traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, flats of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess this town's tattered, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shaking. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Carver High tonight. And the World Series is all Dodgers in game one. And they're just rolling along right now. Carver, what is it now? 4-1? It is 4-1. Bottom of the fifth. Runners on the corners, 4-1. One out. And they finally brought Glasnow out of the game after you said he threw 112 pitches.
Yeah, that last single that he gave up for the fourth run was his 112th. So for a team that loves to tinker with their bullpen and get guys in and out so quickly, they let Glasnow go for a pretty long time, and he didn't look like he had much in that inning at all.
I don't think he had anything all night. I know he struck out like seven or something like that, but here's the deal. Eight strikeouts, three hits, four earned runs, six walks. I mean, that's the difference for me, the six walks. I thought that what I saw was a guy that was struggling to throw strikes the entire time he was in there. He was behind in every single batter. And then the other thing I'll say is that Kiermaier hit the home run. I'll give you that off of Kershaw, like in the fifth inning. But literally, in my opinion, it is beyond me. I cannot explain it. I have no idea how it works. But how can a team make it to the World Series? And not one guy on the whole team can hit at all.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so somebody explain it to me, because I just put it in the church, in the chat room, that they just said on Fox. I mean, I'm not imagining things. I'm looking it right at it. It said that Mookie Betts stole three bases in one inning for a World Series record. It's never happened before. So he stole second, stole third, and then he scored on a fielder's choice. Did he not ground out to Diaz at first? The guy threw home and he was safe at the plate. How is that a stolen base? Are they giving him credit for a stolen base because he took off before the guy swung?
I don't know why they're giving him credit. I don't know why Fox is giving him credit. And on the MLB box score, there's nothing about three stolen bases. They have two stolen bases, which is what he had.
Somebody beyond me had to have just seen what I just saw. I just looked right at it. I'm not making stuff up. I'm not over here, like, imagining things. I looked right at it. It said he's the first guy in World Series history to steal three bases in one inning. I went, wait. I said to myself, he stole second, he stole third. How is that a stolen base going home on a ground ball? I just don't understand it. So I guess I used to know how to keep score of a baseball game with the book my dad taught me when I was a kid. And I did it my whole life, keeping track of games. And I just don't understand that ground ball to Diaz, throw home, he was safe. But how's that a stolen base? I don't understand. Like, maybe he took off before the pitch, and that's why he scored? Is that why they're giving him credit? Because you're telling me that on baseball's MLB's website, it's not, they gave him two.
MLB, ESPN, every box score, anywhere, it's got two stolen bases. So I don't know. I didn't get to see the graphic. Okay. I don't know what Fox is doing, but.
Okay, so I'm watching the game, right? And it happens. And then I said to myself, I even said to you in a break, I said, maybe they just gave him credit for he had a stolen base earlier in the game, that he had three stolen bases in the game. But I would never believe that there's never been a guy that stole three bases in a World Series game. I would never believe that, that no one's ever done it in the history of baseball. So I just didn't believe that. But what I thought I read was, is that he stole three bases in one inning. And I'm like, okay, he stole second, he stole third, and he scored on a ground out. There you go. So, but that's what I saw. And I mean, anybody else that somebody had to have seen it. Anyway, so I'm not even like seeing anybody like documenting what I saw. They're saying that I'm right, that it was a ground out. It was a fielder's choice. But I'm sitting there watching. Did you see them put up there on Fox that it said he stole three bases in one inning, first guy to ever do it? I just saw it on the TV. I'm sitting there reading it. I'm like, Mookie Betts stole three bases in one inning for the first time in Major League history. I'm like, what? That's why I started questioning it, because I'm like, how is that a stolen base going home on a ground out? But what do I know? I thought I knew something about baseball, but I must not know anything anymore. So fair enough.
Well, I think that this might be here because Seager stole second, I guess, on the Seager stole second on the double steal. So I believe what they might have put up on the screen is the Dodgers, the first team to steal three bases in one inning in the World Series since 1912 or something like that. Like combined stolen bases, not just Betts. So Betts had two. Seager had one, three stolen bases for the Dodgers in the.
Well, there you go. There you go. I thought it was.
That has to be what they're talking about.
Well, there you go. So fair enough. So I just wanted to make sure that I'm not that stupid. You know what I mean? Because I am fairly dumb, but I'm not stupid. I just wanted to get it right. At least how stoned do you have to be to sit there and watch a game? I'm sitting there watching a game. I look at it. They're scoring again here. This game is such an ugly blowout. It's 6-1 now as Hernandez just drove in Will Smith, and the Dodger fans are partying. It's 6-1, and they got runners on first and second with two outs in the bottom of the fifth. This whole fifth inning has been a disaster. It was a 2-1 game, and now they've scored four times in the inning. And here's my problem that I have. Like, let me just say, all right, today on Coast to Coast, I said I like the Dodgers, obviously, to win the series. And I said that they're just a better team, right? So I think 1 through 9, they're a better, way better team than the Rays. I really do. Like, you know, they had the best record in baseball. They had three more wins, three less losses, right? Something like that. So all I know is that I think that 1 through 9 of the Dodgers is way better than the Rays. And then sure enough, like Clockwork Orange, I'm sitting there watching a game. And tell me I'm wrong, Carver High, but honestly, have you ever in your life seen a team make the World Series where literally, I'll give you a Rosarena, the Cuban, no one's ever heard of him. It's the first time anyone's ever heard of him. They know him in St. Louis, but that's it, right? They traded him. They thought nothing of him. They traded him to the Rays for a bag of peanuts, and they kept that guy Darth Vader instead, right? They said they were the same player. So they got rid of a Rosarena. He went to Tampa. A Rosarena has become a household name in this postseason. Everyone knows who he is now because he's had an incredible postseason. So leave him out of the mix, okay? Leave him off this conversation. But literally, so 8 guys at least, and I'm talking, you could add pinch hitters, you can add anyone else you want. There is no one on that team that can hit. Not one of them. I mean, literally, there is not one guy, unless I'm imagining things, they don't have one guy hitting over 200. They got like 5 guys hitting 1-something. Like, I have never in my life, like, I'm sitting there watching every guy come to the plate. It says he's hitting 180 in the postseason, 190, 193, 197, 199, 200, 201, 203, 205. I'm like, this has got to be the worst hitting team in the history of the World Series. They got to be. Like, Carver High, am I even making this up? Is there anyone on that team that can even hit a baseball? Seriously, how did they make the World Series? They don't hit. They didn't hit against Houston either. They won with pitching and defense. They did not win hitting. They won that game 7 because of Charlie Morton. So they don't hit. They have no one that can hit. Brandon Lau, he literally has had 2 hits in his last 50 at-bats. Remember he hit the home run to right center field the other night? So all I know is they have no one on that team that can even hit, that can even hit the ball. Like they can even get a single. That's how bad they are. They have no one that can get on base unless they walk. No one ever gets a hit. Have you noticed
well,
this?
Well, yeah, they don't have any consistent hitters, guys who you can rely on a majority of the time to get hits. What they have is a lot of guys who, like you say, they don't hit for high averages, and they hit, you know, every once in a while they come up with a big hit, you know, every, you know, here and there. Like Wendell had a couple of big hits, but he doesn't
like
hit
Kiermaier.
The ball consistently. Kiermaier has a few big hits, but isn't consistent. You know, Renfro, Meadows, you know, they get their hits, but they're not like, you know, like you say, there's no 300 hitters in the lineup. You know, there's a lot of guys who will hit 215, and they need their hits in the right spots. When they get those couple walks, they need a Wendell or they need a Kiermaier to get that single after those walks to make it happen for them.
So I have a problem. Like when I looked it up before, I tried to, you're a lot smarter than me. I tried to pull up their postseason batting averages.
Right.
And what I got was, all I got was their season stats, and then I got their stats going into tonight. In other words, the first guy up got a hit, Yandy Diaz or something. And
right. So they have the World Series averages up now.
Right. So now he's hitting 500 or something after one at bat. But they had no one else that had a hit, so no one had any average. Can you find me, Carver Hyde, their postseason batting averages?
I'll send it.
Tampa Bay Rays. And then we will go down going into this game tonight. If you can get it up till, let's say, Monday or Sunday, whenever they, finished off the Astros, what their batting averages are. Because I've never seen anything like it. Like, when they come to the plate, I think they have absolutely no chance of getting a single, let alone getting a hit, hitting a home run.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. Rick Haro's our sports business and legal insider on Sports Grid and on Coast to Coast, and Pharrell on the bench. And you can hear him every single week on my shows and on the network. So he joins us tonight during game one of the World Series, which is over. 6-1 Dodgers. Here's why it's over, Rick. Because the Tampa Bay Rays can't hit. I mean, there's not one guy besides Rosarena that has any kind of ability to get a hit. I mean, I'm talking about, like, I've watched them play in every game, every night of the whole playoffs, and they win with pitching and defense. They certainly don't win with hitting because they don't have any hitters. Like, they couldn't get on base right now if the Dodgers let them, just like, if they pitched underhand.
A little disappointed because at 2-0 and at Kershaw pitching, I thought Kershaw was going to pull his normal Kershaw in the World Series. I agree. I think it's basically over. And, all right, he's two outs into the sixth. So you got three innings of mop-up duty, and it'll be 1-0, and that'll be that.
Well, it sure will be. And I think their problem is that, I mean, when is this all going to come to fruition, the hitting? Like, I have never seen more pathetic at-bats than what I saw tonight against Kershaw, because I think Kershaw's stuff was really good tonight. There's no denying it. And I won't question that he had a good night. But I'm just saying, I thought that the Rays hitters, they looked like they went up to the plate with zero, absolutely zero confidence, like they could get a hit. Like, they, I mean, they just stood there and let this guy throw strikes at them, and they didn't do anything. And then when they did swing, they missed by a foot. I mean, they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. They couldn't even hit a foul ball.
Interesting, again, because Kershaw is certainly not unhittable. I saw the graphic about Roger Craig and some of the big-time guys who have ERAs over 5 in the World Series. Nobody can explain it, but they didn't give him a chance to make any mistakes tonight.
Yeah, there's no doubt. All right, so what do you think of the fact that the Rays made it to the World Series again all these years later after 2008?
Well, I think it's cool. I think it's also, they need a new stadium, and they can, you know, get kind of momentum for that effort, which would be also really cool. But, you know, listen, their payroll is, what is it, about 1/10 the Dodgers' payroll. They're about $27 million versus $221 for the Dodgers. And here it is again, you know, money can't guarantee buying happiness, but you and I both know you'd rather have money than not have money.
You got that right.
Yeah.
You sure do.
Let's put in a fortune cookie, man. We'll put that. We'll go out. We'll get some Chinese food. That ought to be in every fortune cookie in America.
Yeah. Even with the limited seats available to fans, the World Series and the Championship Series tickets were priced about the same as last year. Is that because of the COVID?
Yeah, and you know, the bottom line is that 11,000 seats is a pretty tight demand. You still got to satisfy for the World Series all of the corporate commitments, although very little activation this year. All of the corporate sponsors will be invited, but you didn't have a whole lot of stuff around the stadium. And it just works out that way because you know, the Rangers cooperated and did their part by stinking this year, even though they've got a $1 billion new stadium. And at the end of the day, the idea is that there would be a whole lot of impact going on at the stadium for baseball itself. And remember, it's basically 10 days in a row in one city with two off days, which has never really been done before. You call them travel days, but they just sit around and they wait for the next game.
Right. Do you think that I'm just going to ask this question. If they tonight's game is so boring, it is like mind-blowing boring. I mean, it is so bad that I was actually and I'm going to just admit this. I walked into the other room and 34C was watching like this bachelorette show or something like that. What it's called?
Oh, no.
Where
no,
the one girl.
No, no. Come on.
Listen.
Come on.
The one girl had, she had like 15 guys trying to, you know, fall in love with her. And here's Betts now hitting a home run to right field. It's 7-1. It's just, it's like, so anyway, I walk into the room and I'm watching this girl telling all these guys that she cares about them, and they're all trying to, you know, sleep with her, and they all want to end up falling in love with her and marrying her. And so I'm watching the show, and this chick's acting like she's so cool and that all these guys want her. Meanwhile, the whole time she had like a drink in her hand. I was like, is this chick an alcoholic? What is she? Like, she's always drinking. And I'm sitting
but the real answer is, how does that bachelorette girl get on a show where you have 15 guys after her, and where do you sign up for that?
Okay, so here's my point. My point is that, so I walked in and I'm watching this chick like fending off all these savages, and I said to myself, this is awful, but it's so much better than the baseball game that it's not even funny. Like, so I'm watching a baseball game, I'm picking my nose, and then I walk in the other room and I see this chick and all these guys are trying to like get her in bed and make out with her and just kiss her and trying to tell her that they love her. And I'm like, this is the cheesiest thing I've ever seen in my life. This is awesome, because I've never watched it. And I'm sitting there watching it and I'm like, this chick actually thinks that like this guy's going to like marry her and they're going to be in love forever. And my wife's like, yeah, she's going to pick the one guy that she wants. And then I'm going, this is better than the World Series. So my question is this, is that if the World Series is this bad tonight, then who's going to watch any more of it at all? Because I know my interest in it just went right off the deep end, because I watched one game and I wanted to kill myself watching this game tonight.
Well, the idea of you killing yourself is not really a good idea, so let's not even think about that. But I do think that if a lot of people are saying 6 or 7 games, I can't imagine. But if that happens, the Rays have to start hitting sometimes, and, you know, Charlie Morton, and then we'll see what happens. And here comes another. Oh, that's off the top of the wall. Can I ask you another question, though, on this one? You called the Betts home run. It was marvelous. Then I realized my DirecTV is like 4 seconds behind you. How does that happen?
Well, it happens a lot. Like, Carver High has the same problem where I see things before him.
But Carver High, you don't pay your hamster, right? So, you know, you're probably 14 seconds behind. So, but it's like, I thought Pharrell had this boost of intuition, and then I realized he's just, you know, typically like 3 or 4 seconds ahead of us on television. It has nothing to do with his intuition.
And here's Muncy with another drive in the gap. That's going to score Turner. It's 8-1. And this is like, so if you're a Dodger fan, this is better than sex. If you're a baseball fan or a Rays fan or just want to watch the World Series, you couldn't possibly still be sitting here watching this. The only reason I'm watching it is because I'm doing the show. Because I can guarantee you, if I wasn't doing the show right now, I would have turned the channel on this a long time ago. I'm not interested.
Atlanta let them off the hook yesterday with the stupid base running errors. Let them off the hook. They shouldn't even been here.
Well, so what do you mean? Like, the Braves should have been in the World Series is what you're telling me?
That what I'm telling you is the stupid base running double play error that they put them in, and they shouldn't even been here. The Dodgers would have been, here's another year of choking, but now they're going to win the series, and everybody's going to realize that $2 billion purchase price was realized, the first series in years, and everybody's going to be a hero.
So Lysol has a huge buy in the World Series, trying to keep people disinfected, apparently, during the hot tub.
Well, but how about this? But, you know, the cool thing about that is it's a new category of sponsors, so every league is going to figure this one out. They are the official disinfectant of Major League Baseball, germ prevention, disinfection, including microbiologists and germ kill experts from Lysol working with baseball to reinforce ongoing protocols for disinfection in ballparks with a focus on high-tech hotspots to be put in place for 2021. Who writes these press releases, by the way?
So what is going on? The Padres are having a Halloween house or something at the stadium? Is it something like that?
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool. What they're doing is they're having some trick-or-treating where you can drop your kids off and they follow the base paths and they have character favorites, and it's only $25 for the children, but it's kind of contactless and social distancing. But they'll have witches and superheroes and Manny Machado and mermaids and more, and Petco Park has had some movie nights. They've had a whole bunch of good stuff, so they've been really creative about all this stuff, because we got to figure out some people sooner or later have to tell kids that there's going to be no Halloween this year. I can't wait for that fallout.
You mean for Halloween? All I know is that I thought the games at Petco in the playoffs were really good, and I thought it was a great location for baseball playoffs because the weather is perfect every single day. If they ever had to do it again, what was it? Dodger Stadium and Petco and Houston and Arlington. I think this Arlington Stadium, this Globe Life, is unbelievable. And I think that fans are seeing that. And the Dodgers, I think, have an advantage because they played three rounds in this stadium. They know it like the back of their hands, and this is the first time the Rays have ever been there.
Yeah, that might have been a mistake, by the way, in terms of that issue alone. But Globe Life is a $1 billion deal. The architects did a great job on it. They're the same guys that did SoFi in L.A. and Minnesota and Indianapolis and AT&T. AT&T and Globe Life together, they did both of them. But the issue is, how do you showcase AT&T? How do you showcase Globe Life? And they're doing a really good job with it. They got a retractable roof. So far, they haven't needed it, but they might.
All right, so when we come back with Rick, we'll go through the rest of the 15 to watch for the week. And obviously, the 5-5, tech issues, sports big names. And then we'll keep our eyes on this thrilling World Series game, which is 8-1 going to the sixth inning or something like that. Seventh inning. I think it's going to the seventh inning now. It's a disaster at Globe Life. All right, Pharrell on the bench. We're talking to Rick Haro, sports business guru, on the show, and you hear him on Coast to Coast and Sports Grid. The NFL will forgo the Pro Bowl game. Do you think that, and I know there must be too much money involved in it to just give it up altogether. Do you think anyone would lose any sleep if they ever just got rid of the Pro Bowl? In fact, I guess these All-Star games are fine. I get it, NBA, NHL, baseball, the home run derby and all that. But is there anything really worse in life than the NFL Pro Bowl? Seriously.
No, but you know what they do in the other leagues? They use it as a mid-season trade association meeting, kind of like all the owners get together and everybody else does. And those other three sports, it's right in the middle of the season, basically. At the NFL, it's the end of the season, and it's always been misplaced. And it may be over. Remember, Roger Goodell tried hard to do a lot of other stuff, including like saying, we're going to eliminate this unless you stop playing touch football. And they got some attention from players. The bottom line is it's a 5-6 rating every time they run it on a Sunday night. Even if it's lousy football, people are just getting to the point where they understand football's over, so they want to watch it even if it's terrible.
What are the Bulls doing in Europe? And, it's all off of the success of The Last Dance. What have they've hooked up with an agency to help them, market themselves?
Well, yeah, they're trying to figure it out across the pond how to generate some dollars. This Sport 5 company generates $1 billion in corporate sales a year. And Adam Silver is saying each team can do two international marketing deals. So it's a good idea to expand the NBA's commitment. The Kings are doing stuff in India because their owner is Indian. The Bucks are trying to market in Greece because of the Greek Freak. And, you know, the Michael Jordan still has some cachet, even though don't look now, but he hasn't been with the Bulls for a while, and the Bulls are not great, but they're trying to market their brand internationally.
Well, good luck with that. Louis Vuitton unveils the first menswear collection under the NBA deal. I know a lot of people love that Louis. They love that Louis. They love that Fendi, that Gucci. So now Louis Vuitton's in with the NBA?
Yeah, and look, you know, I don't have my Louis Vuitton shoes or bags or jewelry, but I'm sure a lot of people do. And so they're going to be monogrammed jeans and T-shirts, tailored looks. The NBA's turned into a virtual runway since 2005 when the league mandated a more stringent business casual dress code. Remember that? Many players, including Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul, started their own fashion lines. And so this is only the first of many. Here's a hit.
So the big hit for the Rays. That only took 2 hours. The NBA season delivered new digital media records for the league despite a dip in TV ratings. So you mean like online and everything was big for the NBA, but TV was bad?
No, well, this is important. Remember, everybody was talking about TV down 69%. Is it Black Lives Matter? Is it dilution? Is it the scheduling of the NBA finals in September, which nobody's used to? That doesn't really matter. The big deal is who's watching what. And streaming, total videos, 20 billion things. I don't know what you want to call it, but content segments. It's up 17% compared to last season. 20 billion views, including 7 billion inside the bubble. And so the point is people are watching NBA stuff. They're just not necessarily watching it on television. They're watching it on devices, and that means millennials. That means youngsters. So that's good for the NBA.
So despite the TV declines, the NBA still sees a huge upside to their jersey patch sponsorship deals.
$150 million in revenue introduced 3 years ago. Adam Silver said it would be a three-year experiment. They're going to do it again and do it more. Obviously, it's found money when they did it, and now they need new money more than ever. A lot of people are saying, well, you know, it's like NASCAR all over the jerseys. It's going to make corporate stuff cheaper and less standing out. But it's more money, and the NBA's got to do it when they can. So good for them, and they're going to keep it going and see where they can get the dollars. Most of the companies that are dealing with these, like General Electric with the Celtics and on, they want to keep it.
So cricket's having this huge tournament, the Indian Premier League over in the UAE in the Arab Emirates. And so what they're doing is they got the kiss cam going, so there's just a lot of people making out at the games. Is that essentially what's going on there?
A lot of love. So Danny Morrison, who's a big cricket guy, is uploading photos in unique frames. Kiss Cam is an interesting company, by the way, because you know them from doing all the arena stuff, but no fans in arenas. But now they're trying to do stuff with weddings, stuff at home, and they're trying to bring content to fans that aren't going to games, but they're also doing stuff involved with their teams. They're also going around the country and the world internationally. Cricket is just one example.
New TV deal, I guess what, Tennis Channel and the ATP Media will make the network the exclusive U.S. home of the ATP Tour. So what happened there? Tennis Channel got a big deal?
Tennis Channel got a big deal, and they're trying to do not only the ATP Masters, but the 500 Series, 250 Series, beginning in 2021. Sinclair bought them, and they've been big. And Ken Solomon, the president of Tennis Channel, says this is now the biggest, fastest-growing deal. So look for the Tennis Channel to try to catch, some say they've already done it, the Golf Channel, and bring more tennis to the masses.
Well, I got to tell you, I thought it was really cool seeing Nadal win again at the French Open. That is the craziest streak I've ever seen in any sport where this guy just dominates at Roland Garros like no one else. And then I have to say that I thought the U.S. Open without fans in New York was terrible.
You know, the U.S. Open for the first time, I totally agree, the sense that you could feel the lack of fans. And maybe it was because how it was covered Maybe it was because of the people who were in it. And it's also maybe because it's such a fan-friendly event with all the fans buzzing around that you really did notice that the lack of fans was there. And also, we always go. So it was kind of upsetting that we couldn't go.
Let me ask you a legal question off the top of my head. I really, because I just thought of this in the midst of all of your many stories that matter. There's one I want to slide in, and I don't have a lot of time. So explain this to me. The lawsuit against Kirk Ferentz, his son, and the athletic department at the University of Iowa in Iowa City, the Hawkeyes, the head coach Ferentz has been, as you know, accused over the last year of racism, and that he runs a racist football program, and that there's been all kinds of issues of certainly what one would deem racial issues going on there. Then it kind of, so they finally, it blew over and nothing happened to him. He never got fired. He kind of, if you will, got away with it and never got any, nothing happened to him. I mean, you have all these players saying that he's a racist and they didn't do anything about it. They said that they stand behind Kirk Ferentz. Then 20 players sue him in a civil lawsuit for racism. They want $20 million. The school has hired a lawyer, big shot law firm, to defend them. And they're saying that all of these players that used to play for this guy can basically kiss off, and that they're not going to buckle to their demands, and they're not going to give him a penny in this lawsuit, and that they don't agree that he's a racist. What kind of lawsuit is this? Do they have a shot against this guy when that many people have confirmed that this was going on? How could they not have a case and have a shot at winning?
Pattern of behavior, he said, she said. A lot of it depends on who's willing to testify and who's not. And it's also kind of a hard case to prove damages on. If you're, you know, feeling bad, that's one thing. If you're deprived of certain opportunities, that's another. But obviously the university feels so strongly about it that they're hiring big-time lawyers to make sure they don't get liable about it. And you know my position, when in doubt, spend a lot of money to hire a lawyer, right?
Yeah. And then do you feel that did you ever feel that that you were surprised Kirk Ferentz didn't get fired?
Well, at the time there was a whole critical mass there, but he had enough support amongst the administration that when you withstand all of this, you're going to be fine for a while. And then after that you survive and thrive, and then you figure it all out. So, you know, he's not completely out of the woods yet. We'll just see how this affects recruiting down the road.
Yeah, like now he's back being accused of it again. It's just the gift that keeps on giving, and it's certainly not the gift that they want at that school, where it just won't go away. And at some point you have to just, you know, maybe cut ties with him. It's just like, this guy's making us look bad that we're a racist school. And that's when they're in trouble.
Yeah.
When everyone thinks that Iowa's racist, people are going to stop going to school there.
Well, okay. That's the point about recruiting, but also going to school there. And this is at a time where, you know, Michigan State just refinanced their bonds because it was a $600 million settlement on the Larry Nassar gymnastics program stuff. And, you know, we're at an anniversary of Sandusky and Penn State. So,
right.
Look, I'm not saying this is anywhere near that, but I'm just saying that when you have some reputation issues, they're hard to die. It's hard to kill.
Well, I think they were both heinous. There's no doubt about it. They're both just tragic, horrible, heinous stories. But the Sandusky one, they're both so bad, it's hard to compare. But and I don't want to, you know, sound like I'm comparing them. But the reality is, which one do you think was bigger? I mean, Sandusky, what he did to those boys and football players and everything else, and what he did to and what this guy did to gymnasts.
I can't even compare, but the one thing you can compare is that the Larry Nassar incidents was so widespread. He was also, you know, the U.S. team doctor for USA Gymnastics plus Michigan State. So he spread his parade of horribles to so many people. You can tell the difference. There was a $500 million debt that Michigan State took on just to pay off all of these settlements and all of these programs. Penn State paid about $109 million to a smaller group of accusers relative to Jerry Sandusky.
So, top tech story, will 5G take over sports?
Well, it's going to. I mean, right now they're looking at the deal with Apple and iPhones for Fox and Samsung for the first time with this experiment during the series. There's a collaboration right now where you can deal with 5G. I personally haven't noticed it, but, you know, I mean, who knows? It's, you know, it took a while to notice 3D. Now, look what happened to 3D. I have a 3D TV set, but that's going in the junk pile. But 5G is a lot different. 5G is going to be where all of the world does its tech in the not-too-distant future.
Falcons owner Arthur Blank in the top Sports 5 will donate $200 million for children's health care of Atlanta's new big hospital, which will be named the Arthur Blank Hospital. How about that?
Well, you know, listen, if he gives that money, he can name it whatever he wants to do. But he's an amazing philanthropist. He's donated and given about $600 million, the Blank Family Foundation, to causes all over Atlanta. Remember, he founded Home Depot. He helped the building of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, brought the Super Bowl to Atlanta, the national championship, on and on and on and on. And the Blank family certainly, Atlanta's lucky they have an owner like that who's very charitable, even though his team's not doing well this year.
I don't know exactly how much time I got left. How much do I got, Carver High? I got 30 seconds. It's very important. I have to ask now because I'm old and I can't hear anymore. And then Carver High says bad things about me under his breath. It's unbelievable. But Steph Curry's now doing an interview show, furthering the possibility that Rick and I, Carver High, and everyone else that does this for a living will soon have no jobs because they're going to have athletes do everything, including the their own. They have their own magazine now. Now they're doing all their own interview shows. So last week, Steph Curry started this 20-minute conversation on his YouTube channel where he does interviews. He interviewed Bill Gates, and he's going to interview Anthony Fauci. And he's interviewing Stacey Abrams, a voting rights activist and former Democratic Senate candidate in Georgia. And he's doing this interview show, and it's getting the NBA involved in civic engagement. So he's doing, and most of it's about global pandemic stuff and voting ahead of the elections. And then Showtime's going to start doing these shorts, these 5 to 7 minute shorts. And remember Shut Up and Dribble, the whole thing with LeBron James? They people said, you know, shut up and dribble and don't get involved in politics and in social injustice or anything else. And then they turn it into, like the players turn it into, okay, you want us to shut up and just stick to sports and that kind of thing. So now they're doing this, these 7 minute shorts voiced by Jemele Hill. She's a controversial former host at ESPN that spoke her mind and they fired her because she got controversial, right? That's the bottom line. And, she's voicing it. It's going to be on Showtime Basketball's YouTube channel. So there you go. New shows with Steph Curry interviewing people about the globe and about pandemics and voting and issues in the community. And then Jemele Hill voicing shorts about, you know, bottom line is it's going to have footage never seen before, elements of the original series. It's about the changing role of basketball and its athletes in advancing social justice and civil rights. So both of those shows are going to be very important. Carver High is very excited about both of them. 8-3
DVR
now.
Set. Got the DVR ready to go.
Ready to go. So it's 8-3 Dodgers. They got out of that jam. So they're still up 5 runs, bottom of 7.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk. This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits. Sharia, who's making progress with meds. And Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.